This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And welcome to Guardian Radio. Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Tuesday, July 19th, and it's a little after 11 a.m. in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for today as we celebrate National Family Week in the Bahamas. The family is indeed an important institution. In fact, the Bahamian family... you know when you get excited about a topic and then you lose train of thought? How goes the nation? And that's what I wanted to say. And I wanted to slow things down to able to express that. Today, my guests today will be members of the National Family Campaign. They're running late right now, and I'm waiting for them to come in so we can go and discuss that in detail. But before then, as I wait for them, I'm watching. I'm watching with interest what is happening with this union unrest at this present time. Yesterday, we had two different unions, right? Two different associations would had issue. They had issue on how they're being treated. And I pause for a minute just to analyze, just to appreciate what exactly is going on. And I was lost. I was lost because clearly there needs to be some defining of what went awry. And I'll do that. I'll try to attempt to do that until my guest has arrived, right? From what I understand, right, there was an agreement with this particular union that was not signed. It was a memorandum of understanding that the government intend to do certain things. And of course, the union said, okay, this is good. I agree with such. Of course, we had a general election. And the administration or different administration came in. And the new administration has decided that since the memorandum of understanding was not signed, agreed upon, since there was no contract, that they are not going to follow through with the agreed upon negotiations. Right. And of course, this caused some kind of situation where people are saying, but the government is continuous. If the previous administration agreed on such that the government who is now in should follow suit and say, well, we understand what is happening because we believe that this is one government that we're going to work through it. But they have announced that, no, there's no agreement. So 10 months has come and gone. And it seems as if the union is vexed in the short term. They are unhappy for the short term. But this is where the issue comes in. We see that there is a judge who has ordered that this is an illegal strike. Means that the union did not apply and get a strike vote, etc., etc. And therefore is dubbed an illegal strike. And then having an illegal strike or conducting an illegal strike has consequences. I see the labor minister mentions that there can be fines and there can be imprisonment if they continue. You see the labor director demanding that they return to work. So I found that interesting, right? And at the same time, as that was happening, we see the busers, the buses union or association parked their cars. They parked their cars and said, man, they're not running today. That they've been asking, begging, pleading to be addressed in terms of the price adjustment. And what the government is offering is not adequate for them to sustain their lifestyle, especially coming from a point in time where they have been unemployed for so long. And they want there be some negotiation in time. But let's go back to the first issue, right? And the first issue, meaning who is responsible for this illegal strike? Who caused this angst? Who caused this frustration, right? And what should have been done, or what is the best process of what is being done? Now, I believe that each administration should have the right to conduct their business accordingly, right? And if this administration said that they are uneasy with the agreement, I would say that it is their choice. However, I for one believe that governments are continuous. And if there were one or two segments in the intended memorandum of understanding that they do not like, I assume they looked at it. I assume they analyzed it. I assume they see one or two points they can agree with. I assumed they took issue to one or two points. That's why they didn't sign off on it. And I think that should have been communicated. These are the points we have contention with. These are the points that we agree with. And we're going to put through this part of the agreement that we agree with now. And these 1, 2, 3, 4 points that we have issue, we will negotiate and give a timeline because they've been waiting a while. These are things that they agreed upon. And I have no issue with that. But it seems that that did not happen. And which goes to my conclusion or my question. Who is responsible for this? Who is responsible for this unrest? And I put it squarely in the hands of the government, because they didn't handle the union record respectfully, where you call a meeting and say, this is what we are dealing with, and this is where we are going, and this is how we are going to resolve this issue, right? And now the issue has come to a head, when this could have been easily done. And when you see 90% of your workers, of a particular class of workers, who are made up of Bahamians, FNM, DNA, PLP, right? I guess one or two COI, have come together, band together to say, hey, even though this is my government, people who I vote for, people who I support, people who are industry that I know that is crucial, right? At this present time, we feel affronted. We feel wronged by our government. And this is a concern, and this is concern. And I don't think that our government is appreciating what is happening. And I think that if it's not addressed quickly, that it will spread, right? And it's even in terms of the bus drivers. They've been lobbying for an increase for a while. They've been saying, given their reason of their increase for a while. But to say that, no, you're not going to get it, and these people own their bus, right, their buses, they have the right to withdraw their labor. And this is what I find concerning, too, in this narrative, that when you saying that you can be arrested for not going to work, I have a problem with that, because that sounds like slavery. Because if I tired and I say, man, I ain't going to work today because I'm frustrated and I ain't happy, I should have a right to withdraw my labor. And to tell me that, and this is why I'm getting concerned about the verbiage that the minister used, to say that you can be in prison for 3 months. That's a threat to Bahamians, man. You don't say that when tempers are flaring and people are emotional over paying their bills and bring up fines and bring up jail time. You don't do things like that. But I see I have a caller there. Pat should call. Let's see what type of conversation we're having. Go ahead, caller. Thank you for calling Guided Radio in the morning.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Neary.
Good morning to you.
Enjoying the show as usual.
Thanks very much for the call.
What amazed me is the fact that this is the same government that touts the fact that we are leaving France. And I don't see a strike happen yesterday because the person called and said, who's to say that they weren't there? You know, I know one person in particular out of the 90% that did the show, but one who was actually sick, you know, was home that just did a surgery. So that one was actually sick. So how would they know who was actually sick and who wasn't expressing them with such a threat?
And I hear you. I hear you, and I am concerned about the narrative, right? If I am feeling ill, especially in this time of COVID, right? If I cough once, I either should stay home or go to the hospital, right? Go to the clinic and check myself out. And to be so aggressive in terms of the verbiage that you use with your worker, especially workers that you're trying to coerce to go back to work, I think it's inappropriate. And I think that will cause and spiral a episode that we don't need at this present time. I think what should have happened was that the minister should have gone out there amongst the crowd and say, hey, I understand that we have an issue. I plan to address this issue today at 5 p.m. Right, I've committed to it. I'm making an appointment with your union leader that we'll meet at 5 p.m. and he'll address you. But at this present time, I need you to go to work because we need you. Right, we know that you're good, decent, Bohemian citizens. That you're not trying to jeopardize tourism. But I understand what you're going through, and in general, we agree with most of the terms, and we prepare to iron out one or two more terms moving forward. And that didn't happen. Instead. There was now a discord, an anger, an angst amongst the union and the government when there need not be. There need not be. So that's my concern. Do I have another caller there? Go ahead. Caller, you're on.
Yes, good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well, man.
Wonderful. I wish I could say so. You know, it's been almost 50 years that we have had our sovereignty. And it's been some 40 years that I've worked in the hospitality industry. And for the past 2.5 years, well, it's been difficult for us as a revenue earner from tourism, you know, and to see that we carry on the way we do while the product is getting better, the fruit is on the tree. Okay, it's not ripe yet. Okay, but here we go. We want to jeopardize ourselves, and then when we mess it all up, we blame a government.
Colin, let me engage you if I may. Right?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you believe a person owns their labor? If they don't want to work, they can withdraw it.
Yes. They don't have to come to work.
They don't have to come to work, right?
No, don't come to work.
Now, mind you. One minute, caller. No, you didn't have to cut the color. I was interested. But, I don't believe in unions sabotaging the job. You don't block the doorway.
Neither do I.
You don't block the doorway. You don't interrupt the service. You don't cut off the light or whatever it is. You don't disrupt the service. However, you should have a right to withdraw your labor. Of course, going through the whatever policies and procedures that you should go through. And if you're not feeling well, or you think you're not feeling well, you have a right to call in.
So true.
So, and this is my concern. Apparently, 90% who heard what the minister had to say, their belly broke down. Their belly broke down and they got the runs. They felt sick. So they decided to stay home. They called in and decided to stay home. Surely they have a right to do that.
Yes, agreed.
And if they have the right to do that, you don't demonize them. Your job now is convince them to come back to work.
Agreed.
And that's where the scenario is now. They were now being battered and demonized and using the...
But you see why competition is so important.
Yeah, and competition is always important.
If they knew that somebody else was going to come on that job, okay?
Mm-hmm.
They all wouldn't have masked out like that. Okay.
And I agree with that too, and I agree with your sentiments about competition. But I had a privilege of living in the United States for a brief moment. I've seen their labor union movement. I've seen the labor movement in the United Kingdom. They shut down everything. We nice. We are the nicest unions right now, I think, maybe in the world. They don't do. We is civilized where we say, man, okay, we can negotiate.
That those countries can afford that. We can't afford that.
But see, we all are labor minded.
Yeah.
We, our aunts, especially Sir Lyndon, fought for labor to be able to do what they're doing now.
Mm.
Right? And now what you're suggesting is flying in the front of our forefathers and man, no, they shouldn't be allowed. Hey, I would go as far. Would you be willing to lobby the government to ban all unions moving forward?
No.
You're mixing up. Either you don't want them to strike at all.
I'm mixing them up.
Either.
There's a time and place for everything.
So they should never strike.
We have a sore on our body, okay? It ain't healed yet. I'm trying to say Dorian and COVID has done a great damage to us. We don't need another sore on our body.
So now I ask you, when is a good time to strike? Just give me a date,
when is a
time.
Good time to strike?
Yeah, give me a good time.
When the revenue is high.
The revenues are high. We are matching 2019 or getting close to 2019 revenue. So the revenues are high.
No mind them people talking. We ain't ready yet.
So don't agree or mind the government when they give them the numbers.
We ain't ready yet, bro. Because see, if we stifle this, because those two ships could go at other destinations, you know. Those people could book other destinations. We have a brand.
Yes.
Okay, only us got that brand. Okay, and the thing about it, I work in North Italy all those years, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then this new crew comes along, and they see seeing the people doing this dumbness,
mm-hmm.
okay? Then they can do it too, and take it out as okay. So when is your mortgage gonna pay, okay? When is the train school fee gonna man, look.
No, they're excellent questions, and these are things that should be considered. I agree.
We have to look out for country first, man. Okay, this is the self thing. And the union looking for first and all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it is country first, okay? And the children are watching how we're handling this, you know. At age 50, they're watching us, you know? But once again, thanks for letting me share.
No, man, I enjoyed you calling. I hope to hear from you again soon.
Yeah.
I see we have another caller there, Patch them through. Thank you for calling. How you doing, caller?
Hello.
Hi.
Could you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear. This is a National Family Campaign Week, but we're talking union today and how the union impacting the family, I guess.
All right. Tell me something. Just union leaders. You remember when our government was in opposition?
Okay.
Yeah. Remember when the now government was in opposition?
Mm-hmm.
And they signed a memorandum of understanding with a few unions.
Yeah, Umbrella Union. Go ahead.
Nah, this leader of this union, was he a part of that?
No.
But he criticized that, right?
Which he should have, yes.
But what I say now, was he invited to join that memorandum of understanding?
Yes.
All right. So that villainous story that I see after that, when Mr. Linda Wilson, he had one little press conference about that and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if this thing has something to do with that also. I'm just going to be asking. And then again, what the labor minister was speaking about with these fines and prison term and stuff, is that in the Constitution, right?
No, that's in law. I don't think withdrawing your labor. In fact, the Constitution said no man could be a bondsman and be forced to work at all. That's against the law altogether.
So why that? What he was reading in the law? That's in for the law of God, the Constitution and the law contradicting each other.
No, but the Constitution is an umbrella law, and then we make laws to enforce what the Constitution says. So yes, there's a law that says that you cannot do an illegal strike, right? And there's consequences when you do such. And that's just to make sure the country doesn't go in turmoil and everything shuts down.
All right. That might be like an areas like the doctors, the lawyers.
That's essential services. No, not necessary. So those can't strike at all.
All right. Now one more thing again. I think, I don't want to get people in the way and they help. I think sometimes you have to be checking out and fix the things off because you just show up to a doctor and get them to fix it. I don't think that's a good thing.
Well, we have unscrupulous doctors as we have unscrupulous politicians. But when we find them out, there's consequences for that too.
Yeah,
but these doctors we have now are good doctors. So we won't...
We
don't want to put them under any reproach unnecessarily. Unless you have evidence that you know one or two bad.
So, I mean, this thing with... I know some people are entitled to sick days and get jobs.
Okay.
You know, but I mean, it's all checked out. I think what the government needs to do just negotiate with them people and try, because I think this government is trying best.
Man, this government's a good government. They're trying. Just that they need to try harder. And that's where the problem comes in. Some things aren't urgent, and some people say these things are urgent. And this is where the disconnect comes from. What is urgent, and who will determine if it's urgent or not?
Mm-hmm. But this young man leader, I think he mentioned more political move. It does look like a political move to me.
And we all have our opinions. It might be so. I don't know. I think he just represents his people. What if I tell you the majority of people who this union president represents are PLP, and that he and everyone else supports the PLP, but he serves his union first? Would that be political then?
Yeah, but like I say now, when he, the way how he carry on when they signed a memorandum of understanding for this government came in.
Uh-huh.
The way how he criticized that. And
he criticized it because he don't believe unions should be involved in the politician with politics. And that's why it was a good criticize. Good criticism.
Unions gotta be involved. But you think that once the unions that signed a memorandum of understanding that the government don't live up to that, you don't think they will strike?
I don't think they were supposed to strike based on what they do now. But like I said, caller, we all have our different view. And I understand what you're saying. I'm not saying I'm disagreeing with it. I appreciate it. Just that they have different opinions.
Yeah, all right. Thanks.
Good. I see we're taking a break right now. I see I have one or two callers there. I'm still waiting on the people from National Family Campaign so we can talk about how important the family is. But in the meantime, we'll talk about the union, right? We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Hello? Can you show you something else, boy?
Who this is? Tamika?
You don't even remember my name?
Wildred. Girl, I've been so busy. You still planning a trip?
Girl, and I can't wait. I right here online booking my car.
You dare planning trip. You vaccinated?
Girl, we had to. We ain't been nowhere since this pandemic started. Girl, and we got a 14-day vacation.
Best vacation ever.
Girl, are you though?
Well, I know you's gonna get the vaccine because you too like travel. When y'all get your vaccine?
Girl, long time. Because you gotta get your first dose. Wait. Then get your second dose at least 2 weeks before you travel. Johnny get his vaccine and he 12. Even Grammy get hers. Child, and Grammy say she ain't get no money. But I say, I'm not under the mattress.
Child, let me send my list, because I know you going shopping.
Keisha, don't play with me.
Vaccinate today, live tomorrow. A message by PAHO WHO, Canada, and USAID.
Sign your basketball teams up today for the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Streets Basketball Classic, August 1st through the 7th at the Hope Center. Get ready for the pastors versus politicians, along with the Phil Lightburn Slam Dunk Contest, then Energy 3-Point Shootout, along with all championship games, live in living color at the Kendall G. Eliza Gymnasium, Sunday, August 7th, beginning at 5 p.m. That's the Michael Scooter Reed Peace on the Street Basketball Classic. For more information, contact 601-484-2.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
How are you talking about any Christmas
again.
The kids are going back to school. So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2-for-1 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. My guests are finally here, but I want to finish the conversation, so I'm going to speed through the last two callers. So I'm going to let the producer let them come through. But I'm glad to see my guests is here, so we could talk more about what exactly is happening. What is NOD, National Organization Development? What is the CI? Connectors International, and what is this MACFAM? I want to know all these word and these acronyms, right? Yes. But I just want to finish this conversation so I can talk only about you. Quickly put them through, producer. So let me have them do their 30 seconds of talking. Go ahead, caller.
You doing okay?
I'm doing well. I just have to speed things up.
What exactly are the workers at the airport asking for?
No idea.
Okay. And then the second thing is, like, I really think, I understand that it was two callers ago who were saying how the country up at, I think you said it's like at 19%. But then you're still digging yourself out of a hole where you wasn't collecting the revenues that you were supposed to during the COVID pandemic, right? So it's like you're digging a hole and trying to fill it up. Like, it's still in where, you understand? And I understand the plight, whatever it is, more like this, more money or you know, more benefits or whatever. But in the same time, I think the government has to revamp their whole, I mean, because even though, like right now, you see money coming in or whatever, then all of a sudden now, you want to do, spending money on this and that and that. When you ain't taking care of what you're supposed to take care of, you understand? That's like me or you and our personal house, but all of a sudden you get a raise, now you want to put a pool and put a driveway and all the stuff when you ain't paying your light bill or paying your maid or, you understand? So, I really think they need to revamp, take a step back. All you have to do is step back, see what you got, see what you're going to get, and so you can know how to spread it out. And then after you start taking care of what you need to take care of, all the, you know, your staff and your road work and your all these other stuff, school, all these stuff, and then now you can start saying, okay, we can pay for this one to come and we can build more roads and we can invest in this, that, you know what I mean? I really think we need, as a country, I hear them come with the development plan the other day. As a country, you need to, you could plan anything. But if you don't know what you got, you don't make a new plan.
Thank you very much, caller. I appreciate that. Next caller, I'm trying to speed everything up so I can talk to Miss Alexander. Go ahead, caller.
Mr. Delray, boy.
You know this can only be 30 seconds because I press for time.
This is speed, boy. And I understand you got guests. I thought this would be open line show, you know. But Mr. Dury, I don't know what we do right now. We just digging ourselves out of a hole we was into. after Dorian, after COVID, after the last government. I mean, the expenses, the borrowing and so forth. And right now, while we're trying to dig out this hole, people are putting pressure on the country.
Mm-hmm. But thanks very much, Ms. Sparky. I appreciate that. The next caller, so I can quickly clear the board. Go ahead, caller. That's it? Good. So I'm all yours. I have in my company Miss Cheryl, Sister Cher, Walking Alexander, and she's a part of NOD. Are you?
Yes, I indeed am.
Let me bring the mic a little closer to you so we can hear you.
Go yes, ahead. Yes, I am a part of NOD, which stands for National Organization Development Connections International.
And what is that exactly?
Okay, so NOD Connections is a social enterprise, okay. And we are concerned with finding innovative solutions to social problems. And we all know that there are many in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. and they actually stem, a lot of them we find stem from problems within the family.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so when we see that we have issues in the family, they will extend to, you know, the social sphere. So we believe that as we work towards helping persons better relate within the family and strengthening the family, we will ultimately be able to have an impact on the social atmosphere that we're having.
So this is a non-government organization?
NOD Connections is actually a non-governmental organization, but our arm, the nonprofit arm, which is MCFAM that you spoke about, mm-hmm. Marriage, Children, Family Alliance Movement, is a nonprofit organization.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I see that you've come together. You're
right.
Trying to have some kind of alliance. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to understand what this alliance about.
Okay. So first of all, we have been working very diligently along with the Ministry of Social Services and Urban Development over the last 2 years, I would say. Mm-hmm. And last year, we had a major milestone in that we were able to, along with the Department of Gender and Family Affairs, we were able to have inaugurated the first National Family Week. And so last year, we had a soft launch to a campaign that we are calling Bahamas Strong Families Forever campaign, mm-hmm. and that is concerned with, again, helping families to be able to access the resources that they need to be able to strengthen their family.
So we know that the families are important,
right?
And I see you keep on saying strengthening the family, mm-hmm. and using the resources, mm-hmm. but I don't understand that. Like, give me an example of what is it that you do?
Okay, so as you would see within the nonprofit, the non-governmental organizational scheme, working along with Department of Social Services, a lot of these nonprofit organizations work with various sectors, whether they work with women, whether they work with children, men, and you know various individual, I guess you would say, parts or dynamics of the family. But we, as an organization, recognize that in order to have a true impact on an individual and on the society, you need to address it from the family standpoint. And it's not that these other organizations don't do their part, mm-hmm. but research has found that greatest impact is had when the approach is done via a family sphere, rather than individual fares. So, yeah.
So in your experience, mm-hmm. how would you grade the Bahamian family? Are we strong, mm-hmm. or are we fragile and need more extra support and bolstering up? And if we do, for the latter, and mm-hmm. if we are fragile and need bolstering up, what is causing that?
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Very good question. NOD Connections was actually birthed right after the COVID, after the Hurricane Dorian, and also the COVID-19, the start of that onslaught of the experiences that we were having with COVID and still are indeed having. Our organization, led by myself, had even before this started advocating for programs related to self-reliance, because we felt very strongly that the family unit individuals weren't strong to be able to deal with crisis and to be able to rebound in the way that they needed to. I was a prime example because a little over 40, I found myself on the welfare line.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't even know that we had such a thing as welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a number of pileups in my life that happened, divorce, business closed. After 2008, with the recession, dealing with that, having to deal with medical issues, family issues, crisis. And so it was just the onslaught of things that were happening to me. And it was not until then that I recognized that even my structure, which I thought was strong,
mm-hmm.
was actually weak because I had not put in place the necessary preparatory measures to be able to withstand these circumstances that were happening. And so from that, we started, and I started advocating for these programs that would help persons to be able to rebound, because I knew that when I ended up to welfare line, I recognized that there was a reason why I was there,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be able to feel what persons who were needing to have welfare had to deal with. And I felt it in a real way because I was needing medical assistance that I couldn't pay for.
Mm-hmm.
At points, there was times that I needed food, whether it was for my mom or, you know, my elder mom, or generally for the family. And so it really, and again, it was a situation where I needed rent. My rent couldn't be paid because I didn't have a job. And so again, I recognized the need for us to be self-reliant. One of the things was the fact that I recognized that I wasn't doing my budgeting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was spending as the money came in, spending it, not putting savings. I had a business, and a person who was actually in the business, who used to be in a business, came to me and she said, "Remember to save." And for some reason, although that sounds, you know, ABC, you should save, for some reason I was like, it didn't resonate with me that, you know, I should be saving for some reason. And I consider myself a above average intelligence, but it just didn't seem like it was of importance.
So mm-hmm. I have these three questions from mm-hmm. listening to what you
right,
said.
Right, right.
One of the issues that we suffer, I find that we suffer mm-hmm. in the Bahamas, is our culture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And our culture meaning is how we interact mm-hmm. with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned saving.
Mm-hmm.
Number of our households are ran by women alone, mm-hmm. so we don't have that mm-hmm. extra support mm-hmm. by the strong men
right.
doing their daddy roles
right,
or husbandly roles, right?
Right.
And women in general are forced to make tough decisions.
Right, right.
And
right.
some of that tough decision is not saving.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
just being
mm-hmm.
able to buy mm-hmm, enough clothes, mm-hmm, enough food,
mm-hmm.
Personal items mm-hmm, mm-hmm. to take care of the home.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know, systems. What systems are in place
mm-hmm.
that if a woman finds herself overwhelmed,
mm-hmm.
when she says, "I can't take it
mm-hmm,
anymore,"
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
where does she go?
Okay. And very, again, a very, very good question, and one that needs a multifaceted lens in looking at the situation. You asked about the strength of families in the Bahamas, and generally speaking, truth be told, that they're weak
mm-hmm.
because of the fact that many of them do not have a male role, a father within the home. Okay, so we can look at this and address this from a point of proactive measures in terms of how we look at creating families. We could also look at it from the standpoint of how we maintain families, and then we can look at it from the standpoint of, okay, the family is weak. How do we, I guess, offer interventive measures to help strengthen and bolster the family. It has to come from all sides in order for us to make an impact in terms of bettering our situations. And so from the proactive standpoints, we need to, need to start sharing with young women and young men the truth. Generally, the truth is that if you want a strong family, you need to prepare for it. One of the things, and if you're even looking from a spiritual standpoint, and this is spiritual and scientific, there's spiritual and scientific evidence that when a family start by a man and a woman joined together in matrimony, and then the child, or started with marriage rather than by carriage, you set yourself up for a better foundation.
And I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. I'm 40-odd. Mm-hmm. I haven't met anyone who had a marriage at all. Mm-hmm. My whole mm-hmm. community,
mm-hmm. exactly.
women leaders.
Right.
So when you speak of having a father in the home mm-hmm. as the penultimate desired family, mm-hmm. that's foreign for me. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I cannot even acknowledge mm-hmm. that as even mm-hmm. that as an option. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I just want to deal with the family where women control. Mm-hmm. How do we save those women who are growing up a girl child, a boy child? And this is the norm. This is the majority of behemoths. This mm-hmm. is 60, 70% mm-hmm. of them.
Okay.
How do you, those set a family, mm-hmm. how does your program bolster them up?
Okay. So I appreciate the fact that you say that it's foreign to you. And it unfortunately has become foreign to many persons. But that does not mean that we must not continue to try to show persons the better way. Mm-hmm. Just because my mother and my grandmother and my great-great-mother were women leaders, that does not mean that I cannot start and say, okay, I want a better life for my family going forward. Mm-hmm. Based on research, based on what I've seen, based on my own experience, you know, and that I want to start this. So we must start by continuing to teach our children. Because some of the talk that I heard, even in the schools, persons are saying that we don't want to tell, the children that, a man and a woman married are better in terms of we found in terms of outcome because, they may feel bad because, they came from, a one-parent family. But from where I sit, the truth is the truth, and not telling the truth is not being very loving. Okay, and so obviously you wouldn't necessarily tell a young child this, but as our children grow and as they understand, we can actually, in my point of view, tell them these are some of the outcomes, negatives and positives for different family structures, and let them make the decision. But we cannot hide the truth of the research. And the research, our first book of research is the scriptures, first of all.
Oh, the Holy Quran.
We cannot change that. Mm-hmm. There's a pattern that God has given us mm-hmm. for families. And when we decide to do it our own way, then we have chaos.
Yes. But let's talk about your organization mm-hmm. and systems that you do have. Mm-hmm. I know you've planned to have some type of activity happening sometime.
Right.
Let's talk about that too.
Okay.
And what is it that you have planned soon?
Okay, great. So next week we are going to be celebrating, as I said earlier, National Family Week.
Great.
And it's the second annual National Family Week.
And next week, which date are you saying?
Yes, the time set for the family week is the July 25th.
July 25th.
25th through 31st. And that will be prayerfully standard going forward so that everyone can look forward to family week just like we look forward to December 25th as Christmas. We can look forward to July 25th through 31st being the National Family Week. And
what does that entail? I said July 25th next year, What is Family Week?
Okay, so last year, let me just go back to last year. Last year, we had a landmark webinar.
Okay.
Obviously, during the time, this was a webinar that was, it was a webinar. It was in person.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to bring together persons from multi-sectorial.
I see who's who. Yes. Big names that you brought
those
across.
Those were some big names. In addition, big names from different sectors. We had the Bahamas Christian Council represented through Father Palacios. We had three different ministers from social services, education minister, and also social services minister. We also had Chris Curry, who is actually the director of our organization. He spoke about the impact of climate change on those persons who went through Dorian.
Mm-hmm.
And he specifically shared about his sister's experience in having to move from Abaco back to Nassau because mm-hmm. she lost her home. We had, in addition to that, we had Sandra Dean Patterson, mm-hmm. who was a part of that. We had someone from Queens College who does a wonderful program. It's called the 7 Habits of Highly Effective Families,
mm-hmm.
and that's from the author Stephen Covey of 7 Habits of Highly Effective Persons. Mm-hmm. She was there. And also we had the same keynote speaker who will be presenting at this year's symposium.
So year's symposium, right, mm-hmm. who can we expect? Or these are some of the names that you call will be there again?
Okay, no, we have a few of those persons will be there, but we have also a brand new slate of persons who will be a part. Dr. Tim Rarick will again be the key lead presenter.
Mm-hmm.
We have someone who will be speaking about the critical role of education,
mm-hmm.
and the critical role of educators,
mm-hmm.
in policy planning. So the symposium will focus on policy, family policy, and programs that hopefully I'll be able to share with you a little bit more about the programs. But the policy must be in place in order for the programs to make sense. Dr. Rarick will be sharing with business and government policymakers about how they can have a family lens when looking at designing policies and programs for our nation.
I don't want to interrupt you, but when mm-hmm. you say policy,
mm-hmm.
right, I think of technocrats and government mm-hmm. agencies,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to picture it as a layman
mm-hmm.
who's like, I need help.
Mm-hmm.
What type of policy, mm-hmm. overarching policy are you talking about, for example?
Okay, so... And that's why this symposium is so very important, and we're pleading with those
government
and policy to mm-hmm. be there,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because we have to set the framework in order for, again, there's a number of programs even going on with the non-profit organizations that can be stronger and can have greater impact if it is led by, you know, a family lens perspective.
So who all should be there to attend in this seminar?
Who all? The first day actually deals with policy specifically.
Yes.
And then the second day deals with some of the programs that can actually help.
Mm-hmm.
One of the programs that will be shared will be a signature program of NOD Connections.
Mm-hmm.
And that program is called Step West.
Okay.
To happy success.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and it speaks about the components of work, education, service, and training, which is the West.
I see that.
Okay, and then STEP, student training employment project.
Nice.
And again, it speaks to students, a student being a lifelong student.
Mm-hmm.
So at any point, someone can enter into this program and work towards strengthening not only themselves, but their family as a whole. Because our philosophy is you can't, when you're building yourself, you should have your family in mind.
So, correct me if I'm wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The first day, I understand it could be policymakers.
Right, right.
So that's government and NGOs right. and things like that who deals with family and support.
Right, and union leaders, mm-hmm. teachers, that's who we're targeting. Those persons who are going to set the framework and, you know, the foundation.
What about at-risk or vulnerable groupings?
Yes. So
that's their that first day also is
geared towards them? Yes, they can benefit from that. But the second day, particularly towards child minders, mm-hmm. persons who are dealing with children.
Preschools, high schools in general.
Yes, those are the persons that could benefit. Persons within social services
mm-hmm.
who are, you know, social workers.
Boys Industrial School.
In fact, we mm-hmm. are actually currently doing a program with Elizabeth Estates Children's Home.
Nice. Good.
And some of the same components that we look towards incorporating in other groupings. We are working with them because of all the people in our society, they are the most vulnerable and at risk because their families have been pulled from up under them.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're looking at helping to strengthen the weakest link, starting from them, starting with them is the best way to go. And this program not only helps them, but the program is geared towards helping the next level of circle or the circle of influence, which is the child minders, because they have now taken the place of the family. So we need to then strengthen them in terms of training them to better be able to serve the children.
So how can I contact you? I see we're about to finish right now, but how right. can we contact you in general?
Okay, yes. Well, telephone contact, 393-2671. Our email is nodci.mcfam, nodci.mcfam, @gmail.com.
Okay, and all those persons who are policyholders should contact you, and definitely those persons who think they might need additional support.
Sure, right.
And don't know who to contact, what right. organization to get involved with should make reach out.
Exactly, and we're really calling upon the business policy makers that, you know, this can help their organization to be better. And we're looking to partner with them. We're needing their support because the government can't do this all. This is a all hands on deck effort.
This has been Guiding Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I just been having a conversation with Cheryl Alexander from Nord Co.
Yes, Nord Connections.
Nord Connections.
Nord Connections.
No, and they doing their family week on July 25th to July 31st, a family.
It's a
week.
National family.
National family. But we'll get more information on that as we continue throughout the week. Thank you very much for joining us.